Lord. What a wonderful day. I'm so happy that the Lord has promised He would never leave us or forsake us, no matter what happens. If you didn't get a poppy yet, there's still some in the box. Esther has some more. Esther's been busy this week making poppies for us all, so if you didn't get one, make sure you get that. If you were here last week, you may remember that we talked about defeating and beating the storms of life. And the storms come. You can't avoid the storms, but it's how you deal with them and how you approach them and what your attitude is when those storms come in. And I wanted to follow on from that today and talk to you about how you can have a good day, irrespective of what happened last week or the week before or the week before or in your life. You can still choose to have a good day. And you know that all around the world, Australians are known for the phrase, good day. It's something that you'll hear all over the place. You'll hear it at international cricket matches and football matches and all the rest of it. If you are in a place where the enemy has been pressurizing you or trying to get you to think negative thoughts, and that happens from time to time, you can change your day by simply spending time with God, getting His Word into you and letting His Word come out of your mouth, because His Word is the truth and that truth will set you free. I want to share with you this morning what I've put down as four reasons why today can be a good day, irrespective of what has happened, irrespective of what someone else has said. But you can change things by spending time with God, putting on the helmet of salvation and seeing all those fiery darts from the enemy go. The first reason I'm going to tell you today can be a good day is because God made today. He made today. Psalm 118 verse 24 says this, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." There's an injunction in there that says, we will rejoice. There's an active your will, an active my will involved, that irrespective of how bad the circumstances may be, irrespective of what has happened or what someone else has said, we can make a choice where we are going to rejoice. It's how you look at life. An active your will is involved. So you decide today, I'm going to be glad and rejoice. There may be things to be sad about, but in spite of all of that, I'm going to be glad and rejoice because God made this day for me. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 3, 4, and 5, let me read this to you. It says, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and He called the darkness night. So evening and morning were the first day." So God made the first day, and He's been making every one ever since, just for you and for me. He's been making these days for us. So every day when you wake up, that day is a gift from God. And irrespective of what's happening, if it's raining or if the sun is shining, it's still a good day. If it's a cold day or a hot day, it's still a good day. If it's a busy day or a slow day, it's still a good day. If it's a day to be happy and ecstatic about something or a day to be sad, it's still a good day. It all depends on how you're going to look at it, how you're going to spend your day. God made this day for you and for me, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, I put down a few things here that I thought would encourage you this morning. Today is a great opportunity to hug a baby. I heard a baby there earlier on, a new baby. I love babies. We have 9 grandchildren, no more babies. Some of them are 8, almost 9, and some are just a little older, in their 20s. But, you know, when most of them were born, I was able to get hold of them and lay hands on them and pray over them. But today is a good day to hug a baby. Today is a good day to visit a friend. Today is a good day to catch up with someone perhaps you haven't seen for a while. Today is a good day to take bond. If you have a dog, These guys have a dog. They call the dog Bonnie. So today is a good day to take Bonnie for a walk. Today is a good day to right a wrong. I mean, perhaps there's been some tension in the family or something, to right a wrong. Today is a good day to wipe away a tear. Today is a good day just to take someone by the hand and say, I'm here for you. I'll do what I can to help you. Today is a good day to heal a hurt. Someone may be hurting. You can help heal them. Today is a good day to lighten someone else's load. Today is a good day to mend a fence. Today is a good day to pull down a barrier. Today is a good day to tell someone you love them. Today is a good day just to serve someone. Say, what can I do to help you? You see, tomorrow is future. Yesterday's already gone. You can't change yesterday. It's already past. But today is a good day because God made today, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to rejoice. Paul says, rejoice, and again I say, rejoice. So it's an act of your faith involved in this. That was reason number one. Reason number two, today is a good day because God is the same every day. He doesn't change. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, and I do not change. Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, sometimes circumstances are unpredictable and things happen that are sort of beyond our control. We're unable to do anything about it. But God is the same every day. His word is the same every day. His word doesn't change. And today we might be in divine health. Tomorrow we may be feeling some sickness, but God is still the same. Today we may have employment. Tomorrow the company may have closed down and we may be out of a job, but God hasn't changed. Today you may be feeling you're blessed financially. Tomorrow you may be struggling a bit, but God hasn't changed. He's the same every day. Circumstances change, but God who makes our days never changes. I saw this little poster one time and I remembered about it when I was putting down these things to share with you. And this is what the little poster said. No matter what happens to me today, nothing changes these three truths. God is still God. God is still on the throne. And God is still in charge. So that's always true. Doesn't matter what's happening around about you. See, I believe God is faithful. I believe he's faithful to me today. I believe he's faithful to me in whatever area I need. He's faithful in my health. He cares for me. He watches over me. He provides for me. He does all of those things today because he's not a changing God. He doesn't change. He's always the same. So that's reason number two. Let me give you reason number three. Reason number three is today is a good day because I'm being renewed every day. I'm being changed. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18 in the King James Bible. Listen to this, verse 16 through 18. He says, for which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I don't know if you've noticed, if you're still probably under 30 years old, you may not have noticed, but as you grow older, the outward man changes. I wasn't always this color. As you grow older, sometimes these things on the side of your head don't pick up. The radar just isn't as good as it could be. In other words, we get a little deaf. Sometimes the sight isn't quite as good as it used to be. If you're a younger person, you need to cherish all the things you've got. Because as you get older, they begin to change. Sometimes the mind will become a little duller. It's not just as sharp or as clear as it should be. The movements sometimes get a little slower. The joints creak a little more. You know, all these things change. But even though outwardly our physical body is getting older, it's getting less active, every day we are being renewed on the inside. We are changing on the inside. So today is a good day because we are being changed to be like Jesus. And greater is he that's on the inside than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4 tells us. So can I suggest that you begin to forget about yesterday and get on with your today? Now let me give you the fourth reason. Today is a good day because we're moving closer to eternity in heaven every day. We're coming to that place where we're going to be all that God wants us to be. And let me read Romans 13:11 to you. It says this, "And to do this, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." Every day we live, it's moving us closer and closer and closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, closer and closer and closer to our eternity, but it's also moving us further and further away from when we were born naturally and also when we were born again spiritually. We're moving away from that experience and we're moving closer and closer and closer. There's a time coming when it's not far off, when we won't just dream about heaven. We're going to experience it. It's not just going to be something, oh, well, I read about it in the Bible and it's going to be wonderful. We're taking one step closer day by day by day. It's one more milestone that we've passed. It's one more step closer to heaven. And every day brings us to that place. We'll soon be reunited with loved ones. We'll not be thinking about the people that we've missed on this world. We're going to be reunited with those who've gone on before. We're going to come to that place where we won't shed another tear. We're going to come to that place where we're never going to have to say another goodbye. We're never going to have to battle another temptation. All of these things are going to be past, and we're just going to be with the Lord. So today is a day when you could complain because the sun is shining and it's too hot. And then if it rains, we complain because it's wet. But you have to remember that when it's raining, your garden is getting watered. You could come to the place where you can grumble about your health, or you could be thankful that you actually have health. You could complain about your lack of friends, or you could begin to stretch out and say, well, I can make more friends. I can be a friend to someone else. You can dwell on what's wrong in the world. Life is a choice. I put this down. You can worry over what is the world coming to, or you can watch for the Savior's second coming. I'm not moved by what I see. See, no matter what trials or troubles or situations that occur, every day can be a good day because, number one, God is the maker of every day. Number two, God is the same every day. Number three, we're being renewed every day. And number four, because God is bringing us every day closer to eternity, to heaven. I gave you Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The next day you think you're having a bad day because, you know, you burned the toast or you went to the coffee shop and you sat down on a seat and somebody had spilled something on it and you got coffee on your dress or your pants or whatever, you know, something. I'm going to tell you a story. I want you to remember this story next time you think you're having a bad day. This is a true story. Russell would like this. A man was working on his motorbike. He was on the patio of his house and his wife was in the kitchen. The man started revving up the engine of his motorbike as he was working on it, and suddenly it slipped into gear. And he was holding on to the handlebars, so the bike took off with him hanging on to the handlebars, went straight through the glass of the patio door into the living room. He's dragged into the living room. He's lying there on the floor, him and the motorbike. His wife came running out of the kitchen, finds him lying on the floor, all cut up with the glass and bleeding, and his motorbike lying next to him, so she immediately phoned the ambulance. Now, because they lived on a hill, the wife then went down the stairs at the front of the house to meet the ambulance and escort the paramedics back up to where her husband was still lying on the floor. After they had loaded her husband onto the stretcher, the wife noticed that the motorbike, which had fallen on the floor, the petrol was now spilling on the floor, so she quickly grabbed some kitchen paper, mopped up all the petrol, and what do I do with it? So she just threw it in the toilet, thinking, I'll press the button later and it'll be flushed away. Her husband's injuries turned out to be not all that serious, so he was treated for a few cuts and bruises and released after a couple of hours. After arriving home and seeing the damage he had caused to the patio door and the mess inside the house, the husband became so despondent, so he went to the bathroom and sat down on the toilet just to light up a cigarette and help himself relax. So he put the match into the toilet and there was a huge explosion. The wife ran into the bathroom to discover her husband's pants had been blown off. He had severe burns to his nether regions and his legs. The wife again phoned the ambulance, and sure enough, it was the same crew that came the earlier time. The paramedics reloaded him onto the stretcher, and as they were going down the steps to the street below to put him in the ambulance, one of the paramedics said to the wife, "What happened to your husband? How did he get burned?" So after telling them what happened, the paramedics both started laughing so hard that one of them slipped, accidentally tipped over the stretcher, dumping the husband on the steps. He fell down and broke an arm. So next time you're having a bad day, remember the story. So your bad day may be, well, you just didn't get the coffee you wanted. You know, you got some mess on your pants, or it was a bad hair day. I never have a bad hair day. Patrick never has a bad hair day. See, for some people, bad days are continual situations where sickness has come in and come in and come in and come in. Bad days are days where the young people have run off and they're in drugs and doing all these things. And I can remember when we first started, there was a family that lived in Greensboro, and none of you would know them, so I'm free to tell the story. And that family went from one disaster to another. Every week there was some major problem. Pastor, what do I do about this? My son has crashed the car. My daughter's whatever. Things going on all the time. Continually things going on all the time. They had a pet goat. And the father of the family, who was, well, I'm not going to say too much about him, but he eventually killed the pet goat and served it to them for dinner and then told them afterwards. This kind of situation kept going on and going on and going on. See, a bad day is a day where you're having problems, but somebody else is probably having a worse day than you're having. God has created you for good days. What I've discovered is this, folks, and it's simple. People may be strong in faith, but they're weak in the fight. They build their faith up. Oh, yes, I have faith. I can believe God. But then when it comes to actually standing toe-to-toe with the enemy, they're weak. They don't know how to handle that. Having been a bouncer, worked in clubs and pubs, and been a policeman and all of that, I know what a good fight is. A good fight is one you win. And Paul says, this is a good fight we're in. Many Christians, including Pentecostals, and even, I would say, some people who claim to be word people, they may read the word, they may spend some time, and they may meditate on it, and they try to get their faith built up. They probably love Jesus very dearly. They probably admire him greatly. Don't follow his precepts and do what he says. We have to obey what the word says. We need to walk in this word. Noah was a man who walked with God. When God spoke to Noah and said, I want you to build an ark, he gave him some instructions how to do it. Noah didn't say, nobody's ever had an ark before. When you read the story of Noah, if you read it properly, you'll realize there never had been a flood. There'd never even been rain. And here's God telling him to build this. But he did it exactly as God told him. He didn't say, well, is a cubit this or is a cubit that? Because if he didn't get it right, he wouldn't get all the animals in. He had to do it exactly. He spent time. He knew who his source was. He knew what God's plan was for his life. And he obeyed to the very last detail. I want you this morning to understand that even though you can't see God, you can find Him in His Word. You can be sure and secure in what He says. You'll not be secure in places. You'll not be secure in things. You'll not even be secure in people. And can I say this? You'll not be secure even in medicines. Thank God for the medicines. They all help. But when you know your source and you're secure in His Word, you realize one of the things I told you last week, that He has you in His firm grip and He's not going to let you go. And when you understand that and you realize that He is in control, you then begin to have this D&M. The younger ones would know what that is. A deep and meaningful relationship with God. Not just a casual, go to church on Sunday relationship. See, when you come into this relationship with God, it's not something that just happens overnight. It takes time. There's a developing on it. You spend the time with God. You can be on the mountaintop with God, and then you find yourself in the valley, but you'll find that He's there with you. Yea, though I walk through. You're not staying in it, you're walking through. Have you thought about, say, the Apostle Paul, for example, and I'm nearly through, but I just want to leave these thoughts with you because I think they're important. You know, the Apostle Paul suffered imprisonment. He suffered betrayals, beatings, hungers, shipwreck, disappointment. But this is what he said in Acts 20 and 24. He said, "None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." I mean, how many of us have been in prison? How many have been betrayed? How many have been beaten? How many suffered hunger and shipwrecks, disappointments? He said, "None of these things move me." You see, when you're settled and established in the Word of God, it doesn't matter what's happening out there. Get your heart and mind filled with the Word of God. Because whatever you're putting in is going to start coming out. A couple more scriptures. John 16:33 in the Amplified Classic Edition, Jesus speaking said, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you'll have tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world, and I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I've conquered it for you." Can I say this to you this morning here, sitting here listening to me, and those who listen to this CD around the world later when it gets sent out? Some of you may need to rearrange your priorities to spend the time in the book. You need to read it out aloud to yourself. Faith comes by. So you read it out loud to yourself. You process it. And then you begin to do it. Because every time there's a circumstance that comes up, and they'll come up, they're always there. There's always going to be something to test your faith. There's always going to be something to test your resolve. There's always going to be something to test how much you actually believe the Bible. When those things come up, you're able to give an answer to yourself because you've already put it in. Second thing you need to do to have this confidence is learn to pray. Luke 18:1 in the Amplified Bible, again Jesus, says, "Jesus told them a parable to the effect that men ought always to pray and not turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up." Listen to me, life isn't a do-it-yourself project. Somebody needs to write that down. Your life is not a do-it-yourself project. It's a do-it-with-Him project. He tells you what to do, how to do it. You need to spend the time. Ask the Lord to help you make this a good day. Let me give you one last. In the book of Exodus, chapter 30, verse 7 and 8, and we're not going to read it to you, but it says there that Aaron burned incense morning and evening. This was a perpetual incense before the Lord, and that speaks of prayer. So if you begin and end your day with prayer, you'll be able to stay in prayer perpetually throughout your day, and it will be a good day. A lot of people are facing bad days, and bad days are the opposite of good days. And bad days are where you're listening to the negative things that are happening, and those negative things are leading you down the wrong street. They're leading you down dead-end streets, leading you down streets where you can't get out again. You need to spend the time. God wants you to develop this new mentality in Christ. He wants you to begin to think like Christ. Because when you get the image of the greater one in you, you will rise above the circumstances. You'll rise above all those things. How many minutes do you have in your day? Go and get your little mental calculator out. 24 hours by 60 minutes. 1440. 1,440 minutes in the day. Yesterday was Saturday. I don't care who you are, how brilliant you are, how rich you are, how affluent you are, how influenced you are, you can't take any time from Saturday and pull it over into Sunday. Keith has seen a few Saturdays going through. But you know what? He hasn't been able to take any of those Saturdays and bring them into Sunday. You have 1,440 minutes every day. 24 hours. You can't, like, you could say, well, oh, I go to the university, I'm going to be a scientist, and you can do all of those things. You can't take something out of yesterday and bring it into today, other than memories. But you can't take time. We've all been allocated. You know, the word tells us that our lifespan should be, what? Come on, get your thinking. Oh, 120, Genesis 6:3. God says you should have 120 years. But the government says when you're 65 as a man, you're retired. So that means you've only got half a life. I would rather have God's plan. God says I can have 120. Now, I may not want to be around for 120, but I still have the opportunity to have 120. But even those days that have been marked with disappointment and frustration and you know, sitting on the whatever at the coffee shop, they can become good days. It's all in your attitude to them. Can I tell you something? Once you accept the Word of God and what I'm telling you this morning, you move over out of the disappointed crowd into the more than a conqueror crowd. I'm looking at the more than a conqueror crowd. Doesn't matter what's happening. Doesn't matter what the world's saying, what the devil's saying. You are more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? See, this is a good day. I could relate to you, you know, what our last couple of months have been, and you'll find in 60 days, as far as anybody's concerned, there haven't been all that many good days. Some of the days have been pretty terrible. Awful days, but we are more than conquerors. We get through these things. Why? Because it's no longer just Elizabeth and me or our family. It's Jesus and Elizabeth and me doing this together. We are more than conquerors. We're letting Him have His way in our life, and we will be what He plans us to be. And we will get through everything as you can, because you are more than a conqueror. Can you? You got all I'm saying? Now, last week and this week, we'll go into a little pack, so it'll be the how to beat the storms of life and how to have a good day. See, it's great. Have a good day. I just choose. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Say that with me. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Russell. Come finish for us, please.